To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Abide in the Lord, as we pick up in Romans chapter 11, verse 20. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
When I was speaking a few years back at an international congress in Jerusalem, sharing the platform with Prime Minister Begin, then Prime Minister Begin, I got some hate mail from some of the rabbis in the Mia Shearim area of Jerusalem, who are ultra-Orthodox, rebuking me for trying to support the nation of Israel with understanding from the Christians, because the purpose of the rally was to sort of an understanding, bring understanding between the Jews and the evangelical Christians. And these radical rabbis wrote me these letters rebuking me and telling me I had no business being there. And, you know, Israel had no right to even exist as a nation because the Messiah had not yet come. They did not yet have their temple. And they were very opposed to the nation of Israel themselves, though they lived there in the Mia Shearim district of Jerusalem. But they did write to King Hussein in Jordan, and they asked him to annex Mia Shearim into Jordan. They didn't want to have anything to do with the nation of Israel. They feel it's sort of an illegitimate state right now. And so they wrote me these letters, and also these guides who I had been talking to for so long and witnessing to, I said, hey, fellas, I want to show you. You know, they were so pleased that I was there. Oh, you know, so nice that you're here. Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, this is wonderful, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, look what some of your rabbis sent me, you know, and I gave them these hate letters that I had from the rabbis there. And they read it, and they said, oh, that's junk. That's junk. Those guys are just a bunch of religious fanatics. You know, it's just, they're, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just religious fanatics. I said, did you ever, I said, but the rabbis, oh, yeah, but they're just religious fanatics. I said, you mean a rabbi can be a religious fanatic? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, have you ever stopped to think that it was probably those same kind of rabbis that rejected Jesus as the Messiah because he didn't fit the patterns? Bunch of radicals, and yet you today are following those radicals. They didn't have much to say. So I get my little witness in, but they were broken off because of their unbelief, and we only stand by faith. For if God spared not the natural branch, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he washes it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, let my words abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, neither more can ye except ye abide in me. Abide in me. The emphasis of abiding. We're branches. We've been grafted in contrary to nature. We receive the blessings of God. The blessings of the promises of God to Abraham and to David. We have received the benefit of them through receiving Jesus Christ. And we partake of the fatness and the richness and the fullness of God's loving grace that he had promised unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob and unto David. But we only stand by faith. And again, we're encouraged to abide there. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, it was quite severe upon the fall of Israel from the place of God's favor and blessing, severity. but toward thee the goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So when they turn from their unbelief, God will receive them again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, you were cut out of this wild olive tree of the Gentile race, and you've been grafted into the good tree, how much more shall these which are the natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Ignorant of what mystery? That God is yet going to deal with the nation of Israel as the nation of Israel. And unfortunately, there are many people who are ignorant of that mystery. And many ministers ignorant of that mystery. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God has sent his Spirit into the world, into the highways and byways, to compel men to come to the supper. As Jesus gave the parable, you know, of the kingdom. How the king had prepared a great supper. And they said, go out to the invited guest and invite them to come in and to eat. And the servants came back and they said, well, you know, they said that they couldn't come and the various excuses. And so the king said, then go out to the highways and byways and compel men to come in that my house may be full. The invited guest rejected the invitation. And so it's come to us, the Gentiles. And blindness has happened in part to Israel. Not the all of Israel. Again, there is that remnant. But in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I do believe that God knows exactly how many Gentiles are going to be brought in to the wedding feast. That God knows the exact number. If he is an omniscient God, he has to know the exact number. Because that means all knowledge. It means he knows everything. And I do believe that God does know and does have a specified number of Gentiles that are going to believe and to be a part of that kingdom. And it is that number is referred to as the fullness of the Gentiles. Now there is another phrase in Luke 21, the time of the Gentiles. That's a little different. I believe that the time of the Gentiles technically was over in 1967. For Jerusalem shall be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But since 1967 and now, we are living in a short period of an age of grace between the time of the fulfillment of the Gentiles until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Not all the Gentiles that were to be saved were saved in 1967. A lot of you weren't, you see, and so God waited for you. But somewhere alive on the earth today is some person whom God has known, and he is the last one among the Gentiles to be a part of God's glorious eternal kingdom. And the moment that person opens up his heart to Jesus Christ, we're all going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm convinced of that. It's just like walking in to Disneyland and having, you know, the lights flash and the trumpets go off and the drums roll and they say, you are the 5 millionth visitor to Disneyland, you know, and everything is celebration, you know. They've been counting the people as they come through and bang, you're it, you know. And now the big, big gala celebration. And such shall be the case when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I wish I knew who that person was. I think I'd be tempted to do a little coercion. God has called out a people for himself. I am so grateful that God called me. I am so thankful that God chose me to be a part of his eternal kingdom. Oh, the goodness and the grace of God. That I was chosen in Christ. That I should be an heir in the kingdom of God. I thank God daily for that blessing. As you should thank God daily that he chose you. Now, when the fullness of the Gentiles is come in, then the blindness will be taken away from Israel. I believe that this will transpire when Russia is defeated by God as she invades the Middle East. And when Russia moves into the Middle East, God himself is going to intervene and utterly destroy that Russian invading army. And when that day takes place, the blindness that Israel has experienced will be over, and they will recognize their God. In Ezekiel chapter 39, God declares, "And in the day when I am sanctified before the nations of the world," that is the day when he destroys the Russian army, "then will I pour out my spirit again upon the nation of Israel." Right now, God's spirit has been poured out upon we Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. But as soon as that takes place, then God is going to deal with the nation of Israel. Blindness has happened in Israel's part until the fullness of Gentiles comes in, but then all of Israel shall be saved. Because God is going to move by his spirit again in a very powerful way among these people. And they're going to recognize, "For there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes." It's to your blessing and benefit. Because the gospel has come unto us in the Spirit of God, bringing the truth of God. But as touching the election, they're still beloved for the Father's sake. God said, "I can't let you go." He will not let them go. "For the gifts and the calling of God are without changing." God has not changed. He still loves these people. "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so these also, now not believing, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all." Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So, he's dealing with the sovereignty of God, setting aside of Israel, the work of grace among the Gentiles, the wisdom, the knowledge, the ways of God past our finding out. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now I beseech ye therefore, brethren, because God has grafted you in, because you are partaking of the fullness of that good tree, I beseech you, because of these things, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God does not and has not made unreasonable demands upon us. The gospel is reasonable. God said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Now, of course, existential philosophy, having brought us to the point of despair, encourages non-reasoned religious experiences. Because reality is despairing. If you face facts realistically, you're going to be just despairing. There's no help. There's no hope. You know, it's all down the tubes. That's reality. If you don't realize that, then you're not facing reality. If you still think that, you know, the UN's going to pull us out of this mess, or that the Republicans are going to pull us out of the economic mess, or, you know, or the Democrats, if they can get in, they'll have the solutions. You're not being realistic. Existential philosophy has taught us that realism is despair. There's no hope, is what they're saying. No hope. But man can't live in a state of no hope. You've got to have hope. And thus, you've got to take a leap of faith into what they call the upper story, into a non-reasoned religious experience. You've got to go into that world of unreality and have some kind of a religious experience that will sustain you and help you. And of course we see, and of course the papers are always ready to give a lot of publicity to these non-reasoned religious cults in the Laguna Canyon, in their meditations, and how they found serenity and peace, acceptance, beauty, love, auras, you know, tinglings, feelings, non-reason religious experience. I can't tell you why I feel that way. It's just I feel that way. Non-reason religious experience. Now, that isn't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a reasonable relationship. A reasonable experience. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they can be as white as wool. Present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you really stop to think of it, it's reasonable to present my body to God. Because as we dealt with the 11th chapter this morning in detail, or verse 33, the wisdom and the knowledge of God, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's reasonable, if God is so wise and knows so much, it's reasonable to just present my body, my life to Him, that He might guide and direct me. It's unreasonable for me to try and go ahead and continue to try and figure out things and to work out my own life and to work out my own plan when I'm so stupid. The reasonable thing, the rational thing, the smart thing is to just turn my life and decision making factors of my life over to God that He might direct my life. And thus presenting my body unto God as a living sacrifice, that's reasonable, that's smart, that's just good thinking. And anything less is unreasonable. You're not thinking well. You're confused. Don't be conformed to this world. And yet that's exactly what the world is pressing for, and that's exactly what peer pressure is pressing towards. You don't want to be different, you know. Try it. Everybody's doing it. The peer pressure to conform to the world. And we're getting it in magazines. We're getting it on television. That's if you don't conform to the fruity standards of the world, that there's something wrong with you. They would like to make fruits out of all of us. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I know God's will for my life? I can know God's will for my life as I just surrender my life to Him, as I yield my body to God, and as I seek after God. God will reveal His will through my life. My life will become a progressive revelation of the will of God for me. Thus, I've presented my life to God. I've presented the issues of my life to God. I've committed myself to Him. Seeking not to have any strong will of my own or allow some strong desire to master me, just to flow free in God's Spirit. Accepting what comes as coming from God because I've asked God to bring into my life those things that He wants. Accepting those things that pass away is not from God because I've asked God to take away from my life those things He doesn't want. So I don't sit there and weep over lost opportunities. Oh, if I'd only done this, or oh, if I only had that. If God wanted me to do it, he would have led me to do it. If he wanted me to have it, I would have had it, you see. And so it is that commitment of myself to God. And as I do, then God's will becomes a progressive revelation. So I know what God's will is for my life today, and I'll know tomorrow what his will is as he unfolds it to me as I walk with him. Sort of exciting to live that way. You never know what a day's going to bring forth as God unfolds his will, his purpose for our lives. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, that every man that is among you, he ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What do you do with it? We can exercise the faith. We can use the faith that God has given to us, or we can just let it die. But God has given to every man a measure of faith.
Discover the story that's still touching lives, A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck Smith, a powerful personal journey through a life shaped by God's hand. In his inspiring biography, Pastor Chuck shares his story, the triumphs, the trials, and the undeniable thread of God's grace through it all. Our prayer is that as you read this book, you will begin to see God's grace at work in your own life, in your past, your present, and even what's still to come. Because with God, everything's a preparation for something else. Don't miss A Memoir of Grace, available from The Word for Today by calling 1-800-272-9673 or by visiting thewordfortoday.org, where you will also find many other resources.
May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful week, and may his words sustain you as you walk with him in fellowship. May God really begin a powerful work in your life. May the Spirit of the Lord just really rest heavy upon you. And may you really have a chance to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone else this week. May God make you effective in your witness for him. May your life be like a light shining in a dark place, that others might be drawn to that light and find the source of the light, even Jesus. So God bless you and give you a rich week in fellowship with him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 11 through 12. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the
This program. program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.